The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's another one for you. Do you think that Jim Harbaugh is done at Michigan and that he's going to get, because the rumors have already started about Harbaugh and the Jets. Who do you think has a better chance of getting that job, Harbaugh or Bill Cowher? Because I don't believe for 1 minute that Bill Cowher is going to be the next coach of the Jets. I guess I'll believe that when I see it. Because I think he's just, as I talked about with Gary Myers, I just think he's got the cushiest job in the world. And he barely lifts a finger. I think the guy legitimately walks into that CBS TV set on 57th in Midtown Manhattan. And he walks in there on game day and he literally says, all right, what are we doing today? I mean, like, I don't think he does that. What does he do? What does he do to prepare for that? Besides no football, he knows football through and through. He can talk about any game, any team, any player, and he knows enough about the game to go in and do that job on Sundays. But I don't think he's like doing the prep work like the play-by-play guy does or the color analyst does in the NFL and the homework. I think he just knows the game and walks in there on Sunday. I believe it. I think he just walks in with his nice outfit on. They put makeup on him, and he goes live on CBS with that pregame show, and he makes a fortune.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I mean, I think why would you if you're out for that long? You know, there's always those rumors that you get about guys who used to be coaches that, you know, they're doing these analyst gigs, and you're like, well, maybe they'll come back. You know, how many years do we hear about Brian Billick, you know, over on NFL Network? And, you know, him, both these guys, like, they were high-octane, high-intensities, you know, always angry guys on the sidelines. And they just seem so different since they retired, since they went to the, you know, doing the analyst instead of being the coach. Like, it seems like they're happier. It seems like their life is probably better. Why would you go back to that? Sure, money's nice, but, you know, your quality of life when you're making good money anyway is pretty important too. And I think that, you know, in their older years, they're like, why bother?
Do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to go back to the NFL?
I do. I think, you know, he's tried a couple times. He's gotten all these different guys. So he's like, oh, he doesn't have the quarterback. Got a bunch of guys. It just hasn't worked. And I think this is, you know, really embarrassing for him how it is. And he's like, you know what? Maybe it was easier back in the NFL. I'm going to go try that.
Yeah, I don't think it is easier, though, in the NFL. It's for On a Bench. We'll come back and keep talking about it.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Mafia. So tonight I'm going to hit the Bills to win and the spread as well. And then I'm going to hit the Washington spread. So I'm going to hit three of the four bets. Not bad. I had a great, a great weekend overall in betting. I hit like 65% in college of my bets. And I hit basically 64% of the NFL plays. And then even better now with three out of four tonight. So. I ended up like it was the worst night ever for me in terms of the Steelers losing. That sucked. But as I often say, I don't play. I got nothing to do with it. So I have nothing to do with these teams when they play. People for some reason like to, talk about it like I have anything to do with it. I got nothing to do with any of it. So I'm just trying to hit bets. I don't really have any say in who wins, how they play, if they win, lose. I got nothing to do with it. So reality check, right? But the Bills are up 34-17, under a minute to go. The Niners are down in deep again in the red zone, trying to score, and there they get the touchdown. But it's not going to matter because they're still down 10 after the extra point, right? So, and there's 40 seconds left in the game, and they're not going to get the ball back and score twice. So this game's over, done deal, and the cover, without a doubt, no questions asked. So I want to go back to, and the Bills look, I thought, fantastic tonight, by the way. And I guess now I think the Niners play Washington this week, right? And you just saw Washington win tonight over the Steelers. Mafia, who would you bet on in that game? And I think the game is in Arizona again. They're playing Arizona. You know, the game's in Glendale because of the restrictions in California and Santa Clara. So they moved to Arizona. They're playing Washington there at Glendale where the Cardinals play, just like they played tonight against the Bills. And Washington is hot, and they've, you know, caught the Giants, and they beat the Steelers. Do you think the Washington is the choice against San Francisco on Sunday, or do you think the Niners bounce back and win?
That could be a tight one. No matter who wins, I think I might lean San Francisco in that one. They're playing really well. I know they're losing tonight, but they're losing to, like, you know, to Buffalo's a great team, and Washington obviously beat a great team in Pittsburgh. But I think that Washington's defense is just a little stronger right now. I think San Francisco still has some injuries that are holding them back a little bit. If Garoppolo was there, and you know, if you had the big tight end, maybe I'd lean more towards them, obviously, because they'd have more talent at all the, you know, skill positions on offense. But right now with those guys out and Mullins versus Smith, I'm still going to lean 49ers. I think Washington have to go out west. I'm going to lean 49ers.
So wait a minute. You just said.
Yeah, I know.
You just said, listen, are you listening to yourself? You just told me that Washington's better than the Niners in every facet of the game, defensively, quarterback, everything else, and you're still taking the Niners?
No, I said that the 49ers would have been better if they had those guys back. I know that they're about even right now, given that Mullins versus Smith is probably a little bit better, but I think that San Francisco's playing better overall as a team. So I'm going to lean with them on the home game, even though it's technically a road.
Wait a minute.
Really.
No, you're making me dizzy. First of all, the Mullins is nowhere near. Nowhere. He's not even in the same stratosphere as Alex Smith in terms of Mullins has. If I were to give Mullins a grade tonight, or even against Alex Smith, I'd give him a 0, and I'd give Alex Smith a 10. I mean, that would be that. There's your analysis of those two quarterbacks. Now, you talk about all these players being out or whatever. But you said that they're still playing better than Washington. Washington's on fire right now. They've won multiple games in a row, and they beat the Steelers, and their defense, their pass rush is sickening, and they've got four number one draft picks rushing the quarterback, and their quarterback's on fire, and they beat the Steelers. And then I'm watching the Niners. Now, look, I saw them beat the Rams. I'll give you that. I thought that was impressive, but I was not impressed with Mullins or the Niners at all tonight. For 1 minute, not even 1 minute, Buffalo owned this game from the point when it was 7-0 Niners. The Bills owned the game the rest of the game. I don't know. I feel like, you know, when I first looked at it on paper, I liked the Niners to win the game against Washington in Arizona. But the more I'm looking at it, like what I saw tonight from Washington and what I saw tonight from San Francisco, I don't even think you can compare the two teams. I think Washington's playing way better than San Francisco.
I think they're both playing well. I think the San Francisco's offense is a little bit better. I think that Shanahan is using Mullins in, you know, obviously he made some mistakes here. He had the pick to White, but I think he's getting the most that he can out of him. Alex Smith is a better quarterback, but I just think being with the defensive coach and Ron Rivera, I think Shanahan's just getting a little bit more out of his backup right now than you're getting in the offense of Washington. They're struggling to score points.
You're crazy.
The defense is awesome.
You're crazy.
They're not.
You're absolutely crazy. You're crazy to say that. Alex Smith is throwing for 300 plus yards every single week. He's throwing to McLaughlin. He's throwing. I mean, tonight he threw to that big tight end. The guy had the game of his life, Logan Thomas. I mean, they went crazy tonight. They ran the ball. What was the one kid's name? Number 41. I can't even think of his name. He had so many first downs against the Steelers, I wanted to puke. I just, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. I mean, Alex Smith, Mullins can't even hold his jock. Are you kidding me? He's getting more out of him. He's not getting anything out of him. I think that Alex Smith's hot right now. He's on fire. And he's playing great. And I don't even know. Like, I mean, even today we talked about it with Adam. They want to bring him back. They don't want to pay him $18 million, obviously. But they want to bring him back. He's their best quarterback. It's not even close. Haskins, he's, you know, I think he's a hack to begin with. And I think Alex Smith's won that job hands down. That's a done deal. I mean, Alex Smith's not going anywhere. That's his team now. I can't believe it that he came back from that shattered leg, but he has come back from the shattered leg, and he's rocking right now. Do you think that they've tied the Giants? Do you think that, there's no way, like if they don't get Daniel Jones back in a hurry, I'm starting to worry because they're hot. They've won whatever it is, four games in a row. Who do you think wins the division, the Giants or Washington?
Yeah, they're both hot. I'm surprised the way the Giants played yesterday. That I couldn't believe how. I know the defense has played well, but the way the offense was getting enough. And, you know, as high-flying as that Seattle defense offense is, like, okay, the defense slows them down a little bit. Sure, that they really shut them down completely was very surprising to me. I think right now, I mean, given that they hold the tiebreaker, I have to go with the Giants. I was saying last week I liked Washington. I thought they were going to win the division. I thought they had the better schedule. But, you know, they have the tiebreaker. So if it comes down to it, they're going to get it if these teams tie up.
This kid, I think his name's McKissick. He had, am I wrong about this guy? I mean, like, I thought he went off in that game tonight. He had a couple of big catches. He had 10 catches for 70 yards, a 7-yard average. He had a 16-yarder, the longest. Smith kept throwing to McKissick underneath, and the guy kept getting 10-yard first downs every time he touched the ball. The Sims had the one-handed catch that was incredible that basically set up the winning field goal. That was a third down long play. He threw the floater down the right sideline. Sims burns a corner and catches the ball with one hand. And then I told you, Logan Thomas, 9 catches, 98 yards, a 10-9 average, and a touchdown. He had a 30-yarder was his best play. He had the touchdown that tied the game at 17 from Smith. Smith was 31 to 46, 296, a 6-yard average, and a TD. No picks, 3 sacks, a 43.3 quarterback rating, and overall 92.3. But you look at, what this team did, and defensively, I mean, are you kidding me? Bostic not only had 10 tackles, 4 solo, but he also had the pick that sealed the game when Roethlisberger got the pass deflected on first down. When he got the ball back with 2 minutes left, he threw into the line. It batted up in the air. Bostic made the pick. I thought he had a huge game. And I even thought the rookie, Young, he looked good at times too for him. Nothing major, but I thought that defense, their pass rush was good. I thought they gave, and their secondary gave the Steelers fits.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the Giants have won 4 in a row. The Washington football team's won 3 in a row. But that was a huge staple on their, resume. The win over the Steelers tonight. And the NFC is crazy. It's starting to get really crazy. But now you've got the Steelers and the Chiefs both 11-1. So I think what will happen there is my guess will be that the Chiefs will end up with the number one seed because, I don't know exactly what their schedule is. I can look it up in terms of, what they have to do the rest of the way. But let's see what it is. I just want to look at it here. I got the wrong team here. Here we go. I just want to look at this. All right, so what they have left, they had a big game this week in Miami, and then they play at New Orleans. That's going to be tough as well. They got the Falcons at home and the Chargers at home to end the season. So, Mafia, do you think they'll win in Miami this week, the Chiefs at the very least, and then the next week in New Orleans? Those are two really tough games for them. You think no problem they'll win both of them and be 13-1?
I'm not going to say no problem on either of those. I mean, both those are going to be tough games. I think they'll probably – I'm going to say they're going to split them. You know, I think they might have a little bit more trouble with the defense of Miami right now. I know, everyone's going to be riding Taysom Hill right now and how great the Saints are playing with him. But I think they can work something out with that. I mean, I think if you get into a shootout situation there his running is fine. But if you have to put the pressure on him throwing the ball more, that's going to be an issue for them. I think Miami's defense is a little bit stronger than New Orleans in a certain situation, as we saw them tear golf apart. And they're not going to shut down Kansas City by any means, but I think they can control them enough that they could take a shot at winning that game.
So the Saints are 10-2. And the Dolphins are 8-4. You think the Dolphins are better than the Saints based on, I know they're in different conferences, but it sounds like you think the Dolphins are a better team than the 10-win Saints.
I'm not saying they're a better team, but I think right now with Hill starting, I think that puts a little more pressure on them than they want. I think it's kind of like, same, although even on a different degree than Teddy Bridgewater last year, where, Peyton's kind of using him in the way that he wants to use him, kind of protecting him. But if you get into a shootout with Kansas City, you can't protect him. You need him to unleash the ball. You're not going to have him run for 10, 15 yards. You're going to have him throw for 15, 20 yards. And the more you make him throw the ball, I think the more he's going to get exposed.
So the Steelers play the Bills. Then they play at Cincinnati. Then they have the Colts at home and at Cleveland. So 3 of the 4 games they have left are on the road. Does that give you more of a feeling like the Chiefs will end up with a better record, that the Steelers have to play 3 or 4 on the road?
No, because I think the Steelers are veterans. I think that they are a good enough team to win those games. Roethlisberger has been there before. It's not like he has some young receivers. He has, other pieces that are obviously not as round as him. They don't have the titles and all that. But I think him and Tomlin know how to get these guys ready. and they've shown they can win on the road before. You know, it's not like they are, you know, a team that's just a home, you know, juggernaut. It's just that they can win anywhere. They know they can. When they've had get to the playoffs and they have to go to Kansas City, that's been more of an issue for them, or going to New England. But during the regular season, they can win on the road.
All right, so let's go back to the Jets problems for a second. When they blew that game, did you think, because it's like, I want to hear from Marcus May. He went on record. He did an interview after the game, basically calling out Greg Williams that the play calling was terrible. Like that they should have used a different play, a different call on that last bomb. They should have not have done the all out O blitz, which is what they did, the zero blitz. May called them out. And when the players start calling out the coach, you know, you're having a bad day. Let's listen to the Jets' Marcus May about the last play.
Trying to keep everybody together and, you know, just get ready for next week.
Marcus, is this a more difficult loss just by the way it happened, having that lead up to the last few seconds?
Yes, definitely. It's tough. You know, we fought hard to put ourselves in a position to win. You know, at that point in the game, just got to be in a better call.
Marcus, when that call comes in, even before the snap, are you thinking to yourself that that's not a good call there? I mean, just because of the situation? I mean, I know that's happening so fast, but
I mean, everything that's happening fast for me, the call came in, you know, a lot of, you know, things running through our minds and everything like that. So, you know, we just played the call that the coaches called and, you know, and we just got to execute, but you got to help us out at the same time, just being a, you know, better call at that spot.
I mean, that says it all right there, is that the guy's like, the call sucked. You know, the bottom line is he just tried to be as nice as possible in saying it. He didn't call him out by name, but the call that he made was Greg Williams' call, and that it was a bad call. It was a bad idea. And the players sound like they were in shock, Mafia. That's your team. Do you think that when you start hearing the players call out the play calling, that, you know, you got – well, we already know they got nothing but problems. They haven't won a game all year. But did you think that was really kind of like what drove Gase crazy, was that his own players were doing interviews after the game mocking the call?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. And also just the stupidity of it. I mean, the play right before that, don't forget, they got beat over the top again. They got beat over the top in the middle, and Carr just missed the guy. But he had three guys behind him, and he was ready for the end zone catch. They missed it. So what do? They put everybody back on the next play? No. They blitz everybody, play one-on-one coverage, and get beat over the top again. I mean, it's just a situation where you're winning that game. If you really want to win that game, you're not blitzing. You're playing prevent defense, keeping them in front of you. Because like Adam Kaplan said on the show, like, they're down four. Field goal does nothing. They need a touchdown. They have 10 seconds to do it. You keep them in front of you and make them make those big plays. You know, you don't let them go over the top. You have deep safeties, at least two. And instead they blitz, and it was just a dumb call, unless you're trying to lose the game, which, you know, I'm sure, well, like, you know, you saw everybody accuse them of, whether it was Esiason or the guys on Sunday Night Football, or, you know what, I mean, I was sitting here as a Jet fan, happy that they lost. You know, I want them to compete and have a good game and then lose, because I don't want to lose that pick, especially when Jacksonville was losing to Minnesota. Jacksonville holds a tiebreaker. You don't want to lose out on Trevor Lawrence. If you're going to suck this bad, you want to go all the way. But, you know, still, if you're going to say that you weren't trying to lose, if you're going to act like that with the coaches, then you don't make that call. And Adam Gase also, his defense is terrible too. That just shows, you know, how no control does he have over the things that he was saying, something about like being distracted or something. Being distracted by what? You're winning with 10 seconds left. You should know everything that's going on that field. What are you doing? What else could you possibly be doing at that point?
When you watched it, when you were sitting there watching it, because you know you have the number one pick in your grasp, and you know that if they lose out, they're getting Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
When you saw the play happen, did you get mad or did you laugh that they gave up the play? Because you could have been like, oh, my God, they suck so bad. You start laughing. Or were you mad that they, you know, obviously you want the number one pick. I don't think you root against them to win. But what was going through your mind when you saw the play?
Your explanation is exactly what I did. I laughed. I'm like, that's so Jets. That is the Jets in a nutshell. That's being a fan of the Jets. You know, is that even when things are going good, the other shoe's got to drop. I remember, you know, beginning of last season, I think it was the first game of last year, and they were playing the Bills, and they were up by like 10 points. And I was sitting here with a friend and my fiance at the time, and all of a sudden they gave up a touchdown. They were still up by, I think, at least a touchdown. And both of us were just so mad. We're like, you got to be kidding me. What are they doing? It's like, they're still winning. We're like, yeah, but that's the beginning of the end. We're, as seasoned Jet fans, we know once the starts to go down the hill, the snowball is going to keep rolling and it's going to get worse and things are going to go wrong because that's just what they do as a franchise. And that was a typical Jets play right there. Like, you didn't learn. They almost beat you over the top one play. And then what do you do the next play? Send even less guys back and let them make it easier to do.
So now they have, what's remaining is they play in Seattle this week. And then they play at the Rams. Then they have the Browns at home and at the Patriots. I think we talked about it with Gary Myers. I don't like their chances in Seattle or in Los Angeles. And I got to tell you, I don't think they beat the Browns either, even at MetLife. I think the Browns will run it down their throat and pass it. And I mean, they're just better. That's all there is to it. I mean, they could have 10 or 11 wins by then, the Browns. They're already 9-3. And then the Patriots are playing really good right now, even though the Bills are going to win that division. Do you think you can beat any of those teams?
I don't think they should. You know, the only way maybe they do anything is if the Browns are actually in the playoffs and want to rest some guys and they have a situation like that where they had, you know, like 6 or 7 years ago against Cincinnati to get in the playoffs where the Cincinnati just rested guys because they're already in there. That's the only way they're going to win that game is if they rest people or if New England, you know, tries to hand it to him to try to screw things up, because I wouldn't put it past Belichick to do that and screw them for the next 10 years by not letting them get Trevor Lawrence, because they almost beat them the first time. I know the Patriots are playing better now, but I think that that's a situation where if you come down to the final week, who knows? Because Bill Belichick would love to stick it to him, and, you know, sticking to it by winning that game isn't doing much this year. Sticking it to him by not letting them get the top pick would be a lot more damaging for them for a long time. And the Jags schedule is the Titans, at the Ravens, the Bears, and at the Colts. So, I mean, they should have a terrible season as well, with the only chance of maybe at the Bears. So, I mean, the Jets got to keep pace. And by that, I mean, they got to keep losing.
So, can we listen to Baker Mayfield? How about this guy? He says, so we'll do it when we come back. He's talking about, like, he's not dwelling on the win or anything else. Like, he's got this whole thing he's pulling off right now this season where he's like acting, trying to like play like he's all mature. And I'm just worried about the next game in front of me. I'm working, I'm grinding, I'm learning, blah, blah, blah. And, but the bottom line is, don't even fall for that, because he was as cocky as ever yesterday, knowing everyone has called him every name in a book, that he's an idiot and everything else. And meanwhile, he goes out and lights it up for 4 first half TDs. All right, so for on the bench, can we listen to Baker Mayfield talking about allegedly not dwelling on wins? I don't believe one word he says. All right, here we go. Let's try.
We're taking it one game at a time. You know, we are handling everything inside the building. We know there was a lot of talk about this game leading up to it, but we weren't worried about that. We were just worried about doing our job and doing it at a very high level.
All right, so there was a lot of action going on there in the locker room, obviously. So Nick Chubb is also on here talking about, you know, the reality of it, that they are for real, the Browns.
I think people know that we are a good team now when we play well, and that's what we did today. We came out, we beat a good team, and we got to keep use momentum, keep going forward.
I mean, they're sneaky good, and you know, if I were to bet on a team though that, you know, has that 9-3 mark, I think I'd pick Buffalo. I honestly, and I don't deny that the Browns are capable. I thought that's the best I've seen the Cleveland Browns look yesterday. Tennessee up 38-3, whatever it was, and they finished it off 41-35. That was the best I've seen them play in 20 years. There's just no getting around it. You know, running the ball, passing the ball, and defensively, that was the best I've seen them. And so I don't think they're a joke at all. I think they are very capable of giving problems to anyone they play based on the fact that they pound it with Chubb and company. And I think they have the ability to play with anybody. And like I said, when they play Pittsburgh that last week, I think they're going to show everybody what they're made of. I could be wrong. I know Roethlisberger has owned them in Cleveland like no other quarterback in the history of the NFL. What he's done in Cleveland is crazy. But this is a different Browns team for sure. But I think that, you know, overall, if I were to guess, I think that the Bills with Allen, because I do think he's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. I think Josh Allen's better running the ball, obviously. There's only been one guy done what he's done, and it's Cam Newton in terms of throwing touchdowns and running for touchdowns. He's like, you know, 50 TDs passing, 24 running. The guy's been incredible. And I think that his receivers are good, Diggs, Beasley, all these guys are good. And I think their defense is vicious. And I mean, I think the Browns' defense is decent. I think Myles Garrett's really good. But the difference is that I think the Bills have several players that stand out to me defensively. And like the guy White tonight, once again, this guy has, you know, picks in three of the last, I guess he's got four on the season, three in the last four games. He had another big one tonight. And, you know, they look dangerous to me. You know, they're nine wins. Like, I think Pittsburgh's going to find out how tough they are on Sunday up in Buffalo. That's for sure. And if the Steelers had won tonight and, you know, hypothetically, let's say they had beaten Washington, which they were up 14-0, they should have won the game. We already told you the numbers. When they're up 14 points, the numbers are so staggering of them losing in that situation. It's like, outrageous in that stadium, 78-1-1 when leading by 14. In their history, leading by 14, it's like 120 something wins and two losses. So it's crazy what they do. But let's say they had won tonight, which they didn't, but let's say they had. I still think they would have gone to Buffalo and lost to the Bills. I think the Bills would have been the team that shattered their dream of an undefeated season. And I'm not certain that I'm sure they wanted to win every game and go undefeated, but I think it's very difficult. It's also unrealistic. And I also think it makes every game that much harder winning. Like when you're winning every game and you get to the point where you're at 11-0, 12-0, 13-0, like the Patriots did that year when they were 16-0 Mafia. Then 17-0, and then, you know, 18, and then going for the Super Bowl win, right? And they lose, and they're 18-1, whatever it is, right? So it got harder each game. I think it gets harder each game. So the Steelers would have had to play in Buffalo. They had to play in Cincy, then play Indy at home, and then play at Cleveland. Each game would have been harder. Let's say they get through it undefeated, and they're sitting there 16-0. Then they go to the playoffs, they get a bye, and then they play in the divisional semi, right? I'd rather lose now. I mean, obviously, but then lose then. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go 16-0 and then lose. Do you remember when the Patriots lost that game in the Super Bowl to the Giants? People never stopped talking about it. We're talking about it right now. They never stopped talking about Mafia, the fact that they lost one game, the one game that mattered, the Super Bowl. I would rather lose now. In fact, I'd rather lose to Washington and lose to Buffalo and lose to Indy and lose to the Browns than to lose in the playoffs. I would rather win 11 or 12 games, get in, and then do something in the postseason as opposed to, you know, let's say going 16-0 and then losing in the divisional semi, or going 17-0 and losing in the AFC championship game to the Chiefs. What would be worse to you, Mafia? Tell me which one you'd rather do. Lose now, play great in the playoffs, or go the distance, go undefeated, winning in the semi, and then lose in the title game to the Chiefs. What would you rather do?
I'd 1,000,000% rather lose now. I mean, you hear all the time these teams that have to play that, you know, win or go home mentality through the end of the season for, you know, a bunch of games, whether it's baseball, you know, basketball, hockey, no matter what sport, the NFL. You know, when you have that playoff mentality for that long in the regular season, it hurts you in the playoffs because there's only so much you can take that. There's a lot of a toll that it puts on you. So, I mean, obviously you go out to win every game. It's not like anyone says, okay, we can take this off, or, oh, this one doesn't matter. But, no, it takes a little pressure off you where, you know, you're the Steelers and you have pretty much the division wrapped up and, all right, we don't need this game. You know, it's okay if we lose. It stinks. Like, we want to fix it. We don't want to lose. But it's not the end of the world if we do in the regular season. If you're going for an undefeated season, then you have to win every game, and it puts that pressure on you, and you're drained by the time you get to the playoffs.
Do you think they'll lose in Buffalo this week or beat them?
I think they can lose in Buffalo. I think right now they might. Yeah, I think Buffalo played really well tonight. I think they played well the last couple games, and I think the Steelers, with the injuries that they're trying to figure out on the defensive end, and if Connor's not back on trying to figure out the running game, it could be a tough game against Buffalo, and that could be a second loss.
Who do you think's better, Buffalo or Cleveland? They're both 9-3.
I think Buffalo's better. Both of them have different aspects I like more, but what puts me over, you know, the top in the end is I trust Josh Allen more. You know, I think that Baker Mayfield had that great game, but there's been plenty of games we've seen him throw a ton of picks. We've seen him be the cause of losses at times, you know, and he can say all he wants, like, oh, I had this game, look at me now, but there's plenty more that we've had where we say, well, look at those and look what you did. They both have good defenses and different, you know, positions where they're really strong, like Myles Garrett's amazing on the defensive line. You have White, who's amazing in the, you know, the secondary for the Bills. But I think the Bills' experience in the playoffs last year, adding Diggs, and the faith I have in Josh Allen to do a little bit more than I have in Baker Mayfield gives me that the Bills have the edge.
How about this guy, Josh Allen? He threw 4 touchdown passes tonight, and it's the 3rd time he's done it this year. Mayfield did it yesterday in the first half. I almost fell over watching him in that game in Nashville. I just couldn't believe how great he looked. But think about that, that Josh Allen has done it 3 times. He's thrown 4 TD passes 3 different times. I mean, I don't even think it's a question who the better quarterback is. I think Baker Mayfield's doing a great job with the Browns this year, not doing more than he should. Just following the game plan and doing what he's got to do to get a win is more important than any kind of self-grandizing, any accolades, any stats, or anything else. The fact that they're winning, I think, is he's getting off on that, and I think that's what he likes, and it's made him a better football player. But this guy, Allen, what he's doing amazing things. When you look at what the players around the league are doing, when you see what Aaron Rodgers has done in, you know, in Green Bay and the numbers he's putting up and the talk of him now being, you know, the MVP, do you think that he's going to end up getting the MVP? And there's all kinds of people doing crazy things in the NFL this year. I mean, Mahomes is doing it again any way you slice it. Do you think Rodgers is the MVP? Because remember, you know, 4 weeks ago, Russell Wilson was going to win the MVP, and that's all over with now.
Yeah, and I know. I thought this was going to be his year with the way he was playing, but that offense has really slowed down the last couple weeks, as we saw with the Giants did to him yesterday. I think it's still going to be Mahomes'. You know, they just love him. They're so infatuated with him. I know Rodgers is incredible. And, you know, if you, again, me and Carver were talking about this when we were filling in for you, that you want to talk like real, actual MVP, the most valuable, you know, would have been Derrick Henry, I think, in a landslide. Because if you, you know, take one of these other quarterbacks and slide them in where Mahomes is, they're still going to be a good team. You know, it's not going to be a drop off. If you take it, any of the top running backs, it's going to be a drop off from Derrick Henry. But still, they always give it to the quarterback. And if you're going to go to the quarterback right now, it's going to be the flashy one. It's going to be the one that puts up, you know, tons of touchdowns, which Rodgers is doing as well. But they are so infatuated with Mahomes that they would give him the award again, I think.
All right. So just so you know, tomorrow on the basketball scene in College Rack, they're having this ACC Big Ten challenge going on. And there's some really good games. I mean, there's just tons of them, right? Like North Carolina and Iowa. How about that one? I think that's delicious. Of course, Iowa with Luka Garza undefeated at 3-0, North Carolina 3-1. And then Illinois and Duke. Illinois is 3-1, Duke's 2-1. But we saw what Michigan State did to Duke. You wonder if Illinois can do it to them, if the Illini can rack it up. There's all kinds of, and there's other games too. There's Big East, Big 12 battles going on that I'll tell you about. But in terms of the Big Ten, ACC, BC, and Minnesota is another one. That's tomorrow. Penn State and Va Tech, Syracuse and Rutgers. It's just endless. And then in terms of the other one I was talking about in the Big 12, and I just saw that game, Colorado. Let's see. That's it. You got SEC game there. Let's see. Tennessee's playing Colorado. Let me look at the game that I was looking at. Creighton and Kansas. That's the Big East, Big 12 battle right there. And it's just, I mean, there's tons of games. How about Ohio State and Notre Dame tomorrow as well? Purdue and Miami. Purdue's got a good team again. Matt Painter, it's just like they're constantly getting it done. And then my Hoosiers, I've seen them look average in a Maui. They look good in a couple games, really bad in one game when Texas beat their ass. I saw that one. So, but tomorrow we're going to find out who's for real or not in that ACC Big Ten Challenge. And I know some of my picks, I put them on ForRealOnTheBench.com, are dangerous for the Tuesday, all those college basketball games. So it should be pretty good tomorrow. Not bad. Plus, we'll have the Ravens and Cowboys Tuesday night football. That game's in the Charm City, I think, with the Ravens hosting the Cowboys. We'll see what happens there. Tonight, though, Bills win big and Washington shocks Pittsburgh. All right, so Mafia, I went crazy tonight, basically in college basketball, right? The Richmond game, hit that, and Wofford with the points. I hit the East Carolina win in Wilmington by a hook. They were getting 10.5. They lost by 10. They covered. I hit Coastal Carolina to win in North Carolina Central plus the points. I hit Charlotte, and I laid 20.5. I hit FAU to win, but they only won by 2. They were laying 3. I hit Chattanooga. I bet on them to win outright, getting 2 from Middle Tennessee. They won by 10. I hit the Southeast Missouri State spread against Lipscomb and ranked that play as one of my top picks. I lost the Loyola Marymount game. They lost to Cal Santa Barbara, the Gauchos, 69-58. But then my top play was that Arizona dropping 22 and a hook to Northern Arizona, and they beat them 96-53. I did not have action on the Oregon game with Eastern Washington, the Hawks, but they the Ducks beat them 69-52. So good night in college basketball betting tonight. 3 of 4 NFL bets hit, although I'm devastated that the Steelers lost. I'll go eat a bunch of ice cream, popcorn, and cookies over a half-hour period, like a 30-minute window of just junk food binging to get over it. Maybe not a good idea. Maybe I should just go to bed, get up, go work out, and get over it. Or I know I'm going to get abuse as well. When I go to the gym, I get abused when my team loses. When I go to work, I get abused. The LTN guys are going to be abusing me tomorrow because the Steelers lost, and now the Chiefs are tied with them for that top seed. You know the Chiefs are going to end up with that top seed. And the Steelers will lose all of that because of this loss tonight. It could be the beginning of the end for the Steelers tonight, that loss. All right, Sports Rage is coming up next. Good job, Mafia. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 Eastern on Sports Grid. Get on the grid, baby.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com.
Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.